Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey Karras and I'm here with Amanda Hayes. Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Anna. Hi, everyone.
And this week we've been reading A Place for Us by Fatima Farheen Mirza. But first, some book news, and I think we'll scoot past this fairly quickly because I'm still in denial, but the Miles Franklin shortlist has been announced. Still no Tim Winton, but the titles are The Lebs by Michael Muhammad Ahmad, A Sand Archive by Gregory Day, A Stolen Season by Rodney Hall, The Death of Noah Glass by Gail Jones, and I think that was Annie's tip. That's the one she thinks could win. Too Much Lip by Melissa Lukashenko, and Dyschronia by Jennifer Mills, who's a South Australian author. That's the one about climate change, the dystopian.
Yes.
One, and I think that does the shortlist doesn't surprise me in terms of based on the long list that we saw, but yes, it'll be interesting to follow. We might read the winner. We've been thinking about a couple that we're interested in, haven't we?
So we have, and the other one I'm interested in is Too Much Lip.
Yes, yeah, that's been on my radar as well to read. So stay tuned. And just some other news that I thought was interesting, and this just sent me down a rabbit hole this morning, was there's been a study in the UK that was published and showed that older women feel misrepresented in fiction. And it's just interesting because there are women over the age of 45 buy more fiction than any other age bracket, and yet they feel that they're not represented in fiction, or they're not represented as when older characters do appear, the women said they're being portrayed as baffled by smartphones or computers or the internet, and it doesn't represent, you know, the very active women who even into their 70s can be, you know, active and busy and dynamic.
And participants in the workforce.
That's right. And so that sent me down a whole rabbit hole of books that I've read recently that have good, strong older women characters, which I might do a post on that for our listeners.
Oh, good idea.
In case you want to read into that sort of category. But one that Annie and I did recently, The Years by Annie Ernaux, I thought was really good in terms of an older woman's perspective, who's clearly still very active and thinking about the world around her. And we did Spring by Ali Smith.
Yes.
I think she writes good older women characters.
She does.
It was that screenwriter. It was Paddy.
That's right.
Anna. She was a great character. And Annie and I did Gingerbread by Helen Oyeyemi, which had some good, strong women characters as well. But I've got a whole list, which I'll do as a post on our Facebook page. And now on to our book of the week. And I've been wanting to read this for a long time, A Place for Us by Fatima Farheen Mirza. And it came to our attention because it was the first book published by Hogarth, by SJP for Hogarth, which is Sarah Jessica Parker's imprint. She selected this. It was a manuscript that was sent to her and she absolutely fell in love with it, and this was the first one that came out. And then we missed it when it was first released, and it's just been published in paperback. So very exciting. Fatima Farheen Mirza was born in 1991, so she's 28. She's very young. And she started writing this when she was about 17 or 18. So it was about an 8-year project. And it was really interesting. She said, and Sarah Jessica Parker picked up on this, that she said to herself, I'll give myself 10 years to write this book. And Sarah Jessica Parker was saying, what a mature thing to say at age sort of 18, because anyone, especially at someone of that age, would normally say, at best, you know, I'll give myself a year, I'll give it six months, you know. And
knowing that you develop in that time.
But to have that patience and to set aside that time. But she did, she actually started studying pre-med and then moved on to creative writing and then went to the Iowa Writers Workshop, which is the very highly esteemed creative writing workshop in the States. She grew up in California, but she then wrote A Place for Us during that time. One of her mentors was Marilyn Robinson, so she's had incredibly good guidance. And then this has been published last, it was 2018 that it was published. And A Place for Us is about a Muslim family living in California but from Indian – with an Indian background. And it starts off at a wedding of Hadia, the eldest girl, and they're just getting ready for the family photograph and they can't find her brother Amar. And this was the first image that Fatima said came to her when she had the idea for the book, was she just had this picture of a family at a wedding getting together for the photograph and they can't find the brother. Mm. And she said this sparked off so many questions in her. Why? What's happened to him? What have each of the family members done to cause this rift or this issue? And then she then goes back in time to explore all of the episodes in their lives from different points of view that lead up to that moment. So it does read as she first envisaged it, really. That was the picture that sparked it off for her, and she wanted to go into it with a questioning mind. So it wasn't a book where she wrote it knowing the ending, for example. Mm. She just wanted to explore those questions. But so the episodes, you then go back in time and the episodes slowly reveal why Amar has been estranged from the family. You've got the mother, Layla, her husband, Rafiq, and the three children, Hadia, Huda and Amar. So it explores a lot of family dynamics. Mm. There's the relationship between the parents and then the mother, Layla, her relationship with her daughters and in particular with Amar, so that mother-son dynamic, and the father as well. So he's seen as quite distant and quite strict, but then that becomes much more complex. And there are lots of scenes, and this is something she did want to explore in the book, she's said in interviews, where there are scenes where you can see that life could have turned out differently. Mm, so there are lots of turning points, and she explores that. So it's been very highly praised, and Sarah Jessica Parker says, to be taken hostage by Fatima Mirza's heartrending and timely story is a gutting pleasure. I guarantee you will be different when you close this book. It's got lots of blurbs. The Sunday Times called it a modern family saga, the conflict between duty, tradition and temptation, bold and moving. And it goes into that conflict between their religion and the duty, because their parents are very religious, devout Muslims, and then the children wanting to explore the world but also being loyal to their parents and to their religion. Mm. So what did you think, Amanda?
I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this book. It was subtle as well as interesting and thought-provoking. And I love the way she weaved together the struggles of the family, plus she also looked at the Muslim religion in the US. And she, so the parents were, it was an arranged marriage between Layla, who was living in India, and Rafiq, living in the US. So Layla moves over to the US and they bring their family up in the US. And what is really interesting is the parents are both devoutly religious, and they make almost no concessions to their children for the fact that they're living in a different culture. And yes, that obviously sparks conflict. Mm. And the two girls in the family are quite compliant. They maybe question a few things here and there, but on the whole they follow along, whereas
they make it work.
They do. Yeah. They walk between the two. I mean, it's difficult for them too. One example is the eldest daughter, Hadia, is never allowed to go to her best friend Danielle's for a sleepover, for example.
Yeah.
And then the son, Amar, has a much more difficult time trying to reconcile, you know, the life he sees around him and his strict religious upbringing. So there's a lot of struggle in there. In terms of the way the book was written, it was written from the point of view of either Layla, Rafiq or Hadia, the eldest daughter, for most of the book. And then the last section was from the father's point of view. Oh, and sorry, and so also from Amar's point of view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One thing I would say, it did jump back and forth in time a lot, and it also jumped back and forth in terms of whose point of view it was being written from. And sometimes I found that a little bit confusing, and sometimes it left me a little bit distracted. For example, you'd be reading a scene, it would be coming to a climax, and then the next paragraph would go back in time.
Back in time.
And so I found that was probably my only criticism of the book. It was a little bit disjointed sometimes, and for me, a little bit frustrating. I was like, oh, yeah. I have to go back here now and read about this. And I found the same, know what was going to happen next.
But. Yes, that's right. Mm. And I think she obviously structured it very carefully, and it was a deliberate choice.
It was, for sure.
She thinks. So she's carefully structured it, but there are there's a word for that, of that structure where you're dropping in scenes instead of a really chronological,
linear
narrative. Mm. And she thinks of it like she thinks of it as almost like a jigsaw puzzle, and she's trying to fit the pieces together. And so I guess if that's how her mind is working, that makes sense, that then the structure makes sense.
Yeah.
But I did, as a reader, I found it a little bit, like you, a little bit frustrating, where if you're really deeply in a scene and you're being swept away by the story, to then go back or to jump to a different point in time does take readjustment. So as a reader, you know, it keeps you on your toes a little bit.
Yeah, I generally don't mind that kind of a structure, but I just think in this book it was just done a little bit too much.
Yes, that's right. It could have been streamlined a bit more.
Yeah.
But once you were, it only took a little bit each time to get back into it, because her writing was so compelling.
Yes.
I really loved it. I had that same reservation that you did, that it took me a while to get into the flow of how she had structured it. But once I got the hang of it, I found I was so drawn in by the characters, and it was so realistic that and there are so many different things. It throws up so many things for discussion, doesn't it?
It does.
And one thing I find fascinating is that whilst it's so real and true about family dynamics and things that we could talk about endlessly and that are really universal, I think, in any sort of family, different aspects of it, you know, whether there's a favourite child or whether there's a sibling rivalry or the dynamic between how children relate to the mother or the father, and yet this comes at it from a point of view of a religious Muslim family, and yet it still has the universal themes that we can relate to, even though we haven't grown
really
up in a Muslim family.
Clever the way she did that, because you wouldn't characterize it as an immigrant book or a Muslim book. It is really a family drama, and the religion is overlaid on that. And she also makes some really interesting observations, but she does it really subtly, I thought. For example, September 11 happens during the book, and she doesn't talk about it a lot, but a few things come up. The daughters are asked by their father not to wear their hijab to school anymore because he doesn't want them to draw attention to themselves.
Yeah.
And then in one scene, Amar asks his father to shave his beard off because he says, "You look like," in quotes, "them," as in them being the, you know, the evil ones as they were perceived.
Well, because he's been teased at school, isn't he?
Yes.
That his father's a terrorist, basically.
Yeah, so that, I thought that was really clever, the way she just sort of wove that in and made you think about things like that from their point of view.
Yes, it was just enough to give you a real insight without labouring the point at all. And as you say, the focus was more on the family drama, you know, between the parents and children and between the siblings, rather than that exterior life. But, yeah, I really liked how she did that. And I loved what she did really well with the characters was that thing where you sympathise with one and then you get frustrated with them, or the other way around, where, for example, the father you find very unsympathetic, but then it turns and you start to feel for him. In other scenes
you
have real empathy.
Yeah.
And I love that when writers can give you such a complex character that you know, you love them one page and then you hate them on the next page. And even with the religion, I found sometimes I was very impatient with Layla or Rafiq about how devoted they were to a religion and how that played out in in their lives in a way that was like blind faith. And then at the other scenes, you find it to be a really beautiful thing that they have that has been their
comfort and their moral compass.
Yeah, so that's right.
I thought she portrayed the religion really sympathetically, because when you look through the parents' eyes, in some scenes you think, as Anna said, they're being so stubborn.
Yes.
And they're slaves to the religion in a way.
Yeah.
But in other scenes you see what a community, what a moral compass, how it sort of brings their lives together and gives them a sense of meaning.
And even though you say, Amanda, that their parents had no thought to the fact their children were being brought up in a different country where that religion might not work as well for them, if anything, that made the religion perhaps more important to them, because that was their comfort in being in a country they weren't as familiar with, that the religion was something they could hold on to.
Mm, and they had their community at the mosque.
And their community, and that all went together as well. Mm. So you had to do all the things that the religion required of you, because otherwise, you know, you'd be outcast by the community. So it was sort of hand in hand, the comfort, but also the what will people think.
Yeah, well, Layla was particularly dynamic. Obsessed in by that, by their reputation. And and there were things in there, reading it as a, you know, modern woman, you just, the way that women were expected to behave. Men and women, you know, were segregated at parties, and young boys and young girls weren't allowed to be alone to speak to each other. You just think, oh my goodness, how old fashioned. And
it just leads to disaster,
It did lead to disaster.
It's a very unhealthy dynamic, because it drives, you know, if you have two people who want to have a relationship and it has to be secret, and it drives them sort of underground.
It does.
And that can be quite risky in different ways, partly for their mental health, because they're feeling as if they're constantly doing the wrong thing, and it then drives them in sort of into a corner where they think they're having to choose between their relationship and their family in a way that's not conducive to a good, healthy.
No, but the girls, the daughters, manage to do that. They find a happy medium.
Yeah.
Whereas Amar struggles with that a lot more.
Yes. Well, and he struggles with the religion, and there's no, with Layla and Rafiq, there is no option of a life where you don't have that religion. That's not even considered. And so Amar really feels out, like there's no place for him if he has issues with the religion, and if for whatever reason he doesn't believe in the same way, he feels like he has nowhere, because that's not presented as there's no other path presented to him. So it's a very you know, you can read that and think, well, that's terrible. What bad parenting in a way. But also they've just been true to their faith.
Yeah, they're a product of their own lives.
Yeah, so.
But interestingly, Amar goes through a very difficult time, and even if he rejects some of the parts of his faith, even for him, there's still comfort in it.
Mm.
He finds himself repeating some of the prayers and things. So it's very interesting. There's no black and white, there? That's one thing I think she captures really beautifully.
Yeah. No, and she's very – I liked the compassion that she has for her characters, portraying them honestly.
Mm.
And therefore, even when they're – behaving in a way you might disagree with, you still feel her compassion for them. And I loved the intricacy of the writing. So she just gives you lots of little details, so you get really drawn in to their lives.
You feel like you really know them, with the exception of Huda. But
So it's very moving. I really loved it. It was quite a – it's a book that it's then takes a while to recover from. So I found after reading it, I couldn't just move on to another novel.
Oh, I had exactly the same experience. I felt like I was sort of in it, living it. And then when I almost didn't want to finish it.
Yeah.
I think this would be a brilliant choice for a book club.
Yes.
Because there's so much to discuss.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
And there's a lot that Anna and I haven't said too because we don't want to ruin the story.
That's right. And it's amazing to think it's a debut actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
very accomplished indeed.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's A Place for Us by Fatima Fahin Mirza. And next week, Annie and I will be reading Exploded View by Carrie Tiffany. And then Amanda and I are reading, I think it's The Train Was On Time.
Yes. Do by, you want to do is that one next?
Heinrich.
Oll, Roll?
Or Boll?
Boll.
we're really articulate this morning, aren't we? it is a Monday, so yeah. Okay, so we'll look forward to that one. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at abaileycarris. And Amanda?
I'm on Instagram at AmandaLHayes99.
And if you have a minute to rate and review us on iTunes or where you get your podcasts, that'd be great because
Thank
that
you.
Helps people find us. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.